Glory to God. Well, we've been in a series for some time called Strong in Spirit. Now we're getting close to being done. We may wrap up today, but if we don't feel like we're supposed to wrap up, then we won't. But had a little more, at least, to touch on. So you have your scripture sheet there, and then put it on the screen as well. If you could look at Luke 2:40, won't take time to turn there. We've read all these before. This first one. It says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him," referring to Jesus. Strong in spirit. We want to be like the Master. We want to be strong in spirit. Our spirit is the inner man. You know, man is a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. You know, your mind, that's not your brain. And we've taught on this, taught on the fact that you're a spirit and you have a soul and you live in a body. If you didn't hear those messages, go back and listen to them, because after this life, you are still going to be you. Your mind, will, and emotions, your mind thinks through your brain. The brain's the physical organ, just like you're getting around with physical legs. But your brain is not your mind. In other words, when your brain goes into the tomb with the rest of your body, you're still going to have your memory. You're still going to have your thoughts. And you can prove that by the scripture we went back and looked at. We weren't spending a lot of time specifically on that, but that your soul goes with you. You know, Jesus told the account of Lazarus and the rich man, and they had memories of the earth, yet they're not on the earth. Your body, of course, we have a good understanding of our body. Our body is basically our earth suit. It's what we get around in here. But it's not you. Just like you came in a car today or, you know, some type of transportation. Maybe you walked. But if you took any kind of transportation, that car, bus, or whatever, that's not you. You came in it. Well, you came, walked in here in your body, but that's not you. The real you is on the inside. We can't see the real you, but we will someday. We'll see the real you. We'll see each other as we really are. Thank God we don't have to deal with this body the rest of our lives. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
It's an act of mercy. Thank God we don't have to just go through eternity in this. I don't care how much exercise you do. It ain't going to hold up. You know, it doesn't hold up for much over 100 years, let alone a million or a billion. But we're going to get a body that will. That's up to the task. That'll never fail. But we are a spirit, and we want to be strong in our spirit. You can be strong physically, but if you're weak spiritually, you could get weak physically and not get out of it. But on the other hand, if you're weak physically, but you're strong spiritually, you can believe God and get out of that weak condition physically. Our spirit is the most important part of our being. We need to train our mind. We should take care of our body, but we also need to train our spirit. And our spirit is often neglected. And we've said this, there are billions of dollars spent on the fitness industry. Billions of dollars, we know, billions, many dollars spent on the education industry, and online, and books, and everything. But very little, in general, do people spend on their spirit. That's what we want. We want to be strong in spirit. Ephesians 3:14. Go ahead and turn there. I know we've read it before, but we're going to look at this a little more closely. Ephesians 3:14. It's good to have a physical Bible, read a physical Bible. Thank God for technology. And, you know, if you look it up on your phone or whatever, that's great. I like to read a physical Bible. You can mark up a physical body. I know you Bible. I know you can do it virtually on programs and stuff too. But Ephesians 3:14. It's on your sheet there too. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Notice that the whole family in heaven and in earth. You know, there's a family of God. What was it, Wednesday we touched on this? We are citizens of heaven. If you've been born again, if you've believed on Jesus, we're in the family of God. And our citizenship is in heaven. But we're here. Physically, we're here. But we are citizens of heaven. Just like that could be the case, you could be citizens of a country, a citizen of a country here, but you could take a trip or take a sabbatical somewhere else in the world. That doesn't mean that you're a citizen of that world, or I mean that nation. You could still be a citizen of another nation. Well, we're citizens of heaven, but we're here physically. But there is a family also, those that have gone on before us, there's a family of God in heaven. Thank God. Aren't you glad? If you have loved ones that knew Jesus and have passed on, you're going to see them again. In a few minutes. God time. It's not going to be that long. And you know, if you've been around it long at all, this world, it goes quick. Anyway. Years. I mean, you look up. When people say we're just passing through, I just see more and more every day what they're talking about. This is quick. It, you know, you look up and it goes. Thank God this isn't the end. You know, nostalgia isn't of God. I'm not saying it's bad, but that when you have it in a bad way, like, oh, I just wish I could go back and grasp. That's not the way God looks at life. Did you hear me? God's not looking back weeping. He said, I'm doing a new thing. He's going forward, because if we knew what's ahead of us, it's so much better than here. Heaven. We're not going to look back to earth and go, oh, I wish I was there. I've heard accounts of people that have gone on and then come back. They did not want to come back. Even people that had families. You say, how could that be? I mean, they had families that were young or whatever. They didn't want to come back. That tells you how good that place is. It's real. The family of God is there. The family of God is here. Us, we that are here, we have a job to do. And we want to bring as many people as we can with us to that family. And that's God's heart. That's why we're still here, and He hasn't just taken us all, you know, I mean, had the rapture and got us out of here yet, because the precious fruit of the earth has not come in yet to the fullness that it will. Verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now that's what I want, one of the phrases I want to focus on today. We've been talking about the love of God. We're going to go into it some more today. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I want to read this on your sheet there and then put it up on the screen. A few different translations. The New Living Translation. Actually, let's start with the God. Do you have the God's Word translation? Okay. It says, I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. That love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. This way, with all God's people, you will be able to understand how wide and long and high and deep His love is. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. I am praying this so that you may be completely filled with God. Look at the Amplified. It says, may you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Verse 18, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know. Now notice this, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. What's he saying? That you would actually have working knowledge of God's love, which far surpasses just saying, yeah, I know God loves me. There's a big difference. And we're all in different places. We're all growing in that. But there's one thing to just consent intellectually to, oh yeah, God loves me, but to not really feel like he loves you. Well, in one way, I mean, it's good that we believe God loves you, but if you don't really experience it, you don't practically know that love, it's not going to be as impactful, right? If you know in the natural somebody loves you, but you don't really feel the love, you know what I mean, you don't experience it, it's not quite the same thing, is it? But there are times when you know, hopefully everybody in here at some point, somebody has loved you. May not have all best experiences everywhere, but some point, hopefully at some point, you know, you felt love. We love you. Amen. Here, hopefully you feel love when you come into this place and the people around here. But you know, if you think of how you feel when you can know, people say, you know, I'm feeling the love. Well, what does that mean? You know, you're doing something that, you know, you didn't have to do, or you're doing it in a way that shows that you actually, past word, love me. Right? Well, God demonstrated this love he had for us in that he sent Jesus. And as we renew our minds to this fact, that will get more real. We'll experience how much he loves us because he absolutely does. He could not demonstrate it any further. Let's just read that again, verse 19 before we go on. It says, that you may really come to know practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That's a mouthful. It says that you would know practically the love of God, and that the result of that would be that you are filled throughout your whole being under the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. What's the gateway he's talking about? It's knowing practically the love of God. To be full and flooded with the divine presence and with God himself. How is that? Love. Well, you can see that throughout Scripture. Why did Jesus come? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us. We read that last week in Romans. When we were yet sinners, Christ died. The love of God, the Bible says, God, we've read some of these scriptures in John, 1 John 4, verse 8, which I believe we're going to get to, so you don't have to turn there, but maybe we should take a moment. Do I have that one on there? I have 1 John verse 17. Can you put 1 John 4, I think it's 8 through 10, somewhere around there. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, you could see, If you know God, if you experience the love of God, then you are experiencing God. That's the way we're going to be full of God, is when we know His love and when we experience His love. Not religiously, not, well, yeah, I know love. God loves me, quote unquote. But then we go into the world and it's easy to act like the world, like we don't have a God that loves me. I mean, think about what we're talking about. The Almighty, the Creator of the universe, He loves me. We talked about some of the aspects of that love last week. Go back and listen to those messages if you missed them. But the way He loves us, it's described, the love of God, it's called agape in the Greek, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it describes that. We're not going to take time to go back there today, but it describes what that looks like. That's the way the most powerful being in the universe loves you and loves me. He is love. When we start to experience that, well, that's going to be the gateway for us to be full, flooded with His presence, flooded with God Himself. Now look at this same verse in Ephesians 3:17 in the New Living Translation. It says, well, we can read the beginning. The second part of it says, your roots will grow down into God's love and what? Keep you strong. You know, the Amplified said that you may be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Well, when you're secure, you're strong. We're talking about being strong in spirit. This version says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's a good picture. When roots go down into the ground, what are they doing? They're drawing strength and nutrients. That's how something grows, a flower or a tree. See, this needs to be our foundation. When we're talking about being strong, we need to be secure and strong in the fact God loves me. In a real, I mean, this isn't mamby-pamby, you know, lightweight, what the world would call love. Well, He loves me. Now, He can't deal with any of the realities of life, but thank God Jesus loves me. No, God sent Jesus and died a very real death. He died, was buried, and resurrected for us to overcome the realities, the challenges of life. We're going to have challenges, but He has defeated the enemy. And He loves us. That knowledge of His love is going to put us over, is going to keep us strong, as it says here. Verse 18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Notice that. That we would experience it even though we can't quite wrap our being around it. But we can experience it. Just like I can drive a car even though I don't have to understand everything that goes on the inside. Thank God. Right. Especially now. I mean, you know, they're all run by computers. There's firmware and software and everything going on. It's difficult unless you have the right equipment to fix anything. Thank God you don't have to get a complete course in any car. Imagine if you had to go to the dealership and you picked out a car and then they handed you a manual and said the test will be in 3 months, come back and then we'll make a deal. And you got to be able to rip the thing down and use all the diagnostic equipment, you'd say, forget it. Well, thank God we can experience driving a car before knowing everything about it. Well, we experience God's love even though it's like, what? How did Jesus come and how does that work and why does He love me? Hey, we take the Bible as true. We read the Bible, we accept it, and it comes by faith. You can't understand it with your head. You start letting your head get involved, your head will just, it just, you know, it can't comprehend the magnitude of God's love and how He loves you. We take it by faith and we say, God, You said it, I believe it. you love me. And you start agreeing with what he said. This is how our roots go down. This is how we really get established. Let's read through this one more time before we leave. Go on to another scripture. Just the whole passage. Verse 17 says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Love is powerful. Why? God is love. God's love is powerful. Being loved is powerful. The love of God, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the love of God that we have on the inside of us is powerful to help with those around us. That is one of the greatest things you have, to be able to reach people, of course, because you're reaching them with the love of God. But this isn't love that somehow you generate. You don't try to do it, work it up in yourself. The true love of God can only happen as you understand what he's done for you and let that flow through you to other people. There's a portion that I read. My brother Hagin mentioned this. He said, actually, love is the greatest tool there is for helping people. Just let people see that you really love them and that you are really interested in them, and that will help them more than anything. He said, I was reading an article in a magazine once, which was written by the president of the American Medical Association. He said, there are two things that the old country doctors, as we called them, had that the doctors today do not have. That is consideration for the patients and love and sympathy. In this article, the man said that these two qualities are the greatest healing agents we have. The same thing is true with people. If people understand, if we'll understand the love of God and God's plan for us, we'll rise to that plan. If we understand God, that he loves us, and practically experience that, that'll change us. Look at 1 John 4:17. You can turn there, or you can just look on your sheet for the sake of time on this one. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us first. Galatians 2. Let's go ahead and turn over there. Galatians 2, verse 20. Glory to you, Lord. Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's hold your place there. Can you put Romans 8:31 up? And then we'll go maybe to some of those verses after, so if you could be prepared to go down to 37. Why don't you go ahead and take a moment to turn over there. We'll have it on the screen too, but hold your finger in Galatians if you can. Otherwise, it's on your sheet. We're Romans 8, 31. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. Why don't you go back up to verse 28. We'll read that too. Because this, he's saying, what then shall we say to these things? So verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Talking about us. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's saying, if God gave his son, how is he not going to give everything else good that we need in life? If he already gave the most valuable person that he could, like you could say thing, but whatever, you know, he's not a thing. So the most valuable of anything he could give, how will he withhold from us? See, the enemy tries, Satan is crafty. He tries to separate us from God. And he lies. He tries to get you to think, because we live in a fallen world. And we will bump up against certain things. They're not orchestrated by God. We live in a fallen world. And the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. Now, God is sovereign. He's over all. But there is a lease on the earth that God gave Adam dominion over the world. And he sold out to Satan. He bowed the knee and did what Satan told him to do. And the Bible says, to whom you yield yourself to obey, you're his servant. And the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. So there are things that happen this earth. We have an enemy. And what the enemy will do is bring suggestions that somehow God is not for you. As a Christian, well, where was God there? Why did that happen? The insinuation is God failed. God doesn't really love you. If he loved you, why did this happen? And he's a master. Satan is a master deceiver, and he's a master con artist. And the only way you can go against that and withstand is to quote the word. To know what God said and to stand firm on that. If you try to go into reasoning, you will be defeated, because he knows much more than you do or me. He's been around for we don't know how long. He knows how men and women operate. He knows what buttons to push. He knows how to mess with your head. The only way that you're going to be able to withstand is to quote the word and say what God said, regardless of what you see, you feel, you hear, what it looks like. You stay on God's side. Stay on God's side. You don't know it. When you have a suggestion that you thought comes to you, well, what about that? Where was God? Stay on God's side. He did not fail. When we know and we see as he see, you'll see he was more than faithful. He was more than just. The enemy will try to say, well, God's not just. Why did this happen? You've done so and so. Those are lies. They are meant to separate you from God, to get you to take sides against him, against God, just like Satan himself did. That's the spirit of rebellion, and it's the spirit. Satan tries to get the same judgment that he is experiencing and that he will experience ultimately on you, trying to get you to push away from God on false pretenses. He will lie blatantly and know you don't know in your natural self. You weren't there. You didn't see all the things. He'll know he is telling you a complete falsehood, yet will lie blatantly and depend on your ignorance and your siding with reasoning to be defeated. The way out is to stick with the Word of God and say, God is faithful, and quote what God said, which is what we're reading right now. This takes us to renew our mind. Because your mind, we'll try to reason with it. Well, what about that? What about that? How are you going to go around? How are you going to go around the reasonings with the truth of God's word that will stand from all time? If God said it, then it's true, and you state that. You have a suggestion, well, where was God? I know this, God loves me. I know this, and you could say this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give him all things? I know that God has given me everything I need, and I know he's faithful and he's just. Look at the next verse. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through God who loves us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor the height, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Only we could. No, nothing external can. If we'll say, God, I trust you, I believe you, the word says you love me, I believe you love me. I believe you love me like the word says you love me. Then we cannot be defeated if we'll hold to that. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. He just said, it's written. It's written. It's written. You don't have to get into an argument. Don't get into the what if, why, how. You need to get in, just say what God said. God loves me. He is for me. He will not fail me. The enemy will whisper, he's going to fail you. He's not going to come through. He's let you hang out to dry. And you need to come back and say, nothing will separate me from the love of God. If God is for me, who can be against me? If you need to say that 100 times in a row. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is with me. He's for me. We need to renew our mind to what the Word says. And in this area, with the love of God, we don't have people all over the earth telling us how much God loves us and what He's done. When you go to work, that's not the first thing usually they tell you in the morning. That's not the first email that you get during the week, you know, Monday morning. Just want to remind you, God loves you. Now let's get to work. And He's for us. We're going over. I haven't received that email. That's why we have to tell ourselves. We have to look at the Word. We have to remind ourselves. And this is an area. Remember what we read earlier. This is to be a strength and a foundation. And this is, we're supposed to be rooted and grounded here so that we can be strong. Because I tell you what, everything else is quicksand. If you think, if you're rooted and grounded in your looks, in your career, in your money, all that can change in a moment. That's not a bad confession. That's reality. It could change. God's love and God's backing us will not change. If my security is there, then I'm truly secure. Anything else, it can change. I'm not going to be secure. Let's go back over to Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives through me, or He lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's a lot here. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. See, we're living this life in the flesh. There's no other way to live it. Sorry. Everybody has to deal with the flesh. And you have, the Bible says to crucify our flesh. We got to keep it under. We got to keep it pushed down. We got to let our spirit be in control. But we live in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. When you cease to walk in the flesh, then you're out of here. Your race is done. You don't get a second chance to come back. It says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We have to live it by faith. Believe what God said, and we live this life by faith. What He said. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Because He loved me, because He gave Himself for me, then I can live. Now I can run. I can run this race. Look at Philippians 1, verse 3 on your sheet there. Philippians 1, verse 3. Verse number's wrong at the beginning of that paragraph, but it's 3 through 6 actually. So I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request of you, request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is working in each person that trusts Him and believes on Him. He is working. We give Him the ability to work greater as we agree with what He said. We renew our mind to what we're talking about. And this is a foundation. If we'll renew our mind to the fact that He loves us and all He has done because He loves us, that will create a strength and a security and a foundation. But it takes mind renewal. Now, we covered a number of scriptures last week and the week before, the time before. I encourage you, go back and listen to those. You know, this whole series is good and is built on one another, but specifically on the love of God, we've covered specific scriptures the last several weeks. Go look those up, mark them down, and then let those be the truth that guides your life. When it comes to the love of God, anytime there's a thought or a suggestion, it may not be direct that somehow God loves you, but the insinuation is there. He didn't do this, or just the question, why did this happen? That's insinuating, hey, if the Almighty loved me, then why is this? The insinuation is there that somehow He doesn't love us. Well, how are we going to displace that in our minds? We're going to have to change our minds. How are we going to do that? With the Word of God. God, as you're born again, you become a new creature in your spirit, but your mind does not get renewed immediately. And thank God in one aspect, because if it were changed, you would all of a sudden, who am I? What's my name? You know, if your mind was blanked out like a newborn baby, you'd have to learn how to walk and talk. You'd just be nothing. You don't want that. At the same time, now we have a challenge to renew our mind on this earth. And it's a process, and we're going to have to be determined and dogmatic and like a bulldog just going in and holding on to what God said, because this world will try to rip it right out of you. We have to renew our mind and agree with what He said concerning His love for us. When we start to take it by faith is when it will change. We believe the things of God. We take them by faith. We say what He said and say, God loves me. The Word said, like we went over a number of those scriptures. The Bible says the Father Himself loves you. The Bible says in John 17:23 that He loves you as He has loved Jesus. We need to take that not as a religious, doctrine that we agree with mentally, but it's got to get into our heart to where our reaction to life's challenges is God loves me, He's for me, who can be against me? I'm coming over this thing. Think about the reality. If the Almighty, the Creator, the one we sing about, if He is truly my Father and your Father, and He truly loves me and loves you, then what do I have to fear? I mean, just in the natural, if you knew somebody, had connections in a certain area, and as you came into a certain challenge, but you knew somebody that had all this figured out, had all the power, the money, and you just, this is no big deal, I know such and such. In the natural, that would put you to rest. Well, we know Him. But guys, we've heard this, different parts of this. I'm sure that this I'm saying right now is not probably completely new. But it can't just be head knowledge. It can't just be, yeah, but, man, what am I going to do about this? We just located ourselves. See, if it's up here, but it's not practical, it's not experiential, I don't truly believe He loves, I know God loves me, but then why is this happening? We just located that we don't have it in our heart, and we're on a shaky ground. Watch the yeah, buts. You know, like somebody said, it's really important where you put your butt. If you say, yeah, I know God loves me, but this circumstance, that's the wrong place to put your butt. On the other hand, if you say, I'm facing this circumstance, but God loves me and He'll see me through, that's the right place. Amen. That's the right place. And that needs to be our reaction. We need to be so ingrained that when we see something come against us, our reaction is, this is nothing. I know God, and He's the answer to every situation. See, it's not in just one area. Hey, I have this friend that's in this business area. He knows everything about everything and has all power to back it up. So when we have some business situation or some health situation or some relational situation, our reaction ought to be, I know God, and He loves me, and I'm one of His favorites. Because we are. God's capable of having a lot of favorites. In Christ Jesus, we are His favorite. He loves us like Jesus. Well, how much more favorite could you get than that? Think about that. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but we'll insert it here. He loves you like He loves Jesus. Can you put that up real quick, just because for the folks that weren't here? First, or John 17, 23. It says, I and them, he's praying for believers everywhere. He said, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that you, the world, may know that you have sent me and have loved them as what? You have loved me. Now, you can only take that by faith. You try to figure that out. You try to understand it. God loves me like Jesus, but I'm not, well, of course He loves Jesus. I mean, that's His Son and He's perfect. How would He love me the same? Your mind cannot wrap around that. If you try to reason it out, you will be completely defeated because you know you and I know me. This doesn't make any sense logically, but the Word says it. Jesus Himself said it. So are we going to take what Jesus said and believe it and act on it that it's truth? Or just cast it aside as, well, you know, I got to understand it. No, we don't have to understand it. We can take it by faith. And when we understand and start building it into our heart, not our head, that God loves me like He loves Jesus. He loves me. He's behind me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. That starts to be the reaction to life's challenges. And we are unconquerable at that point. We have Him. We have Him at our back. Now, we have to walk this out, and we have to put it into practice. And we're all at different places. I didn't say it was easy, but it becomes easier the more we build the Word into us. The more we program our minds to agree with Him. Look at Joshua 1:8. We'll just look at it on your sheet. Joshua 1:8. This is what we need to do with these scriptures and with any other area that we want to get a hold of. When we to displace what the world is telling us, what we already have in our head that contradicts the Word. This says, this book of the law. Now, that's what they had at that point. You could say the Word of God. This was the Word of God to the Jewish people at this point, the book of the law. But you could say now the Word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Look at the first part of that. It says, but the book of the law, or you could say the Word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That you shall meditate on it day, or in it day and night. This is how we start to replace the parts of our mind that are unrenewed with the Word of God. This is how we renew our mind. And we all need mind renewal in this area of God loving us. How do we do that? You don't just read a scripture and then get off it. You look at it and start thinking about it. That's what meditating is. Say it to yourself. God loves me. God is for me. He is helping me to overcome any obstacle. He is greater than any obstacle. He loves me the same way He loves Jesus. He died for me. I live this life in Him because He's in me. He is for me. And if He's for me, who can be against me? See, we need to spend some time just thinking about it. It can be when you're driving. You can read this and just spend some time thinking. So many times it's easy just to read, go on to the next thing. I mean, that's why I believe we're led a lot of times when we're going through messages, we'll stay on the same thing more than once. Because you just try to get some, it's not head knowledge. This is not like math. Okay, I got it. I got 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay, you know, I got algebra, whatever. Okay, I got that. It is not like that. We need, and even then, you see, you don't. The teacher does not move on to the next concept completely the next day. It is put into you over and over, going a little bit further. What's that doing? It's strengthening and building it into us. Well, the Word of God, we need to do that with the Word because, number one, we've had stuff no matter how, no matter who, what your background is, you've had some junk put into you because of we live in a fallen world. But then secondly, we live in this world that's constantly throwing junk at us. So we have parts of our mind that's not renewed. We need to just have that cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Constantly just, no, this is truth. This is truth. God loves me. He's for me. When the thoughts come, no, you're not going to make it. No, God loves me. He's for me. And get specific scriptures and look over them. That's how we strengthen. That's how we get rooted. That's how we get grounded. That's how we get strong. Because the Word of God, like we started out in the series saying, the Word of God is faith food. The Word of God is how we feed our spirit. We need it. I said we need it. And we need it continually. He is so good.